Welcome to TSN, the Reporters in Podcast. I'm Dave Naylor, alongside Bruce Arthur, Michael Farber, and Steve Simmons, and we are going to discuss the upcoming NBA draft. A long time ago, people thought Andrew Wiggins was a slam dunk to be the number one pick. He may wind up as number one, but Bruce, does it have to do a lot with an injury to Joel Embiid?
Remember when Jim Boeheim, the head coach of Syracuse University, said this draft class is not everything that everyone thinks it is. It's not all these teams that are tanking for high picks. This is not the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And we all kind of went, well, no, come on. And I was one of these people who said, you know, these guys look like they're going to be pretty good. Well, here we are, and it's draft day. Joel Embiid would be the number one pick, but not only does he have a back problem, he's got a foot problem. It's going to be out 4 to 6 months, and when you have a back and a foot problem and you're a big man, that is terrifying to NBA executives. Andrew Wiggins has not really grabbed the opportunity to be the number one pick. He might be taken number one overall by Cleveland, and they'll become a mini Canada on the other side of the lake, but he this year was a good player who occasionally flashed a great. And mostly you figured he was going to be pretty good. Jabari Parker of Duke, again, a good player, but how high is his ceiling? People think it may not be that high. There's no one guy, there's no LeBron, there's no Dwight Howard even, who can carry this draft. So Andrew Wiggins could be the number one pick, but he's not going to be a LeBron-esque number one pick, as high a bar as that is.
Well, Embiid looked like the guy because he's only been playing basketball for, what, about 20 minutes? and he's terrific. But you look at Joel Embiid and you think, Greg Oden, these many injuries at this young an age, I think teams are going to give him a wide berth.
And this few games played, if you add all that together, here's a guy learning on the job. It tells you a lot about what this draft was supposed to be and what it has turned out to be, that he, in fact, was projected as the first pick. When he wasn't even on the board at the beginning of the season, he was one of the further guys down. They had the three guys who were going to battle for number one, and frankly, each of them showed that they're not. As Boeheim said, they're not franchise players. They're guys who are going to go in and probably play well in the NBA, but there's no sure thing in this draft at all.
Back to Wiggins for a moment. It seems like we've been hearing forever that he was the next great thing. I mean, he was almost in a basketball context talked about like Sidney Crosby when he was 15 or 16, and there was all this pressure for the Raptors to get lousy, to get this generational talent. I mean, is it fair to say after 1 year of college basketball that he has failed to live up to expectations?
Well, you know, there's some guys who are made to play college basketball, and there's some guys who are made to play in the NBA. And the suspicion I get is that Andrew Wiggins is one of these guys who's made to play in the NBA, that the college game was not meant for him. They didn't run enough plays through him. Everything was equal on that Kansas team. I didn't see enough of him individually to say he's going to be a great player, but people who know basketball a lot better than I do say he'll fit in very nicely as a good NBA player.
You hit an interesting point there, system. At Kansas, that was not a system designed to showcase Andrew Wiggins. I often wonder what would have happened if he'd gone to, say, Florida State, which he'd considered going to, and would have been the guy, would have touched the ball in an offensive position 30 times a game. At Kansas, too often, he was standing off to the side and kind of just waiting for the ball to come to him. And part of that system, part of it, though, is Bill Self, at the beginning of the year, the coach at Kansas, said, this kid's an assassin. This kid's going to come in and he's going to take control of this team. And during the year, he found that it was harder to get him motivated, harder to get Wiggins motivated than he thought it would be. He was less of an assassin and less of a take control guy and more of a team-oriented guy. Athletically, Wiggins is elite. And in the NBA, you need that if you want to have any shot at great, really. But he still has such a long way to go in terms of the fundamental aspects of the game, in terms of his jump shot and his ball handling. Those are still a long way away.
And we'll throw in defense as well. And there, you're right, there was a certain diffidence about him. Every once in a while, he would get lost in the offensive end. And he was not the dominant kind of player that perhaps he would have been elsewhere, maybe even at Kentucky, certainly at Florida State. So there are some questions. There's no doubt that he is terribly skilled. A disappointment, Dave? I don't think so at all. I thought he had a very respectable first year at Kansas, but that's the deal. You're one and done now, and he will continue to grow in the NBA.
But maybe this is the best thing for Andrew Wiggins. Maybe it's best not to be the guy, not to be where everyone's expecting you to be the next something. Go in, find your place, take your time, learn your craft, become a professional. And I think it's better to do that than to walk in with enormous expectations. And I think, unfortunately, if he does go number one because of injuries to other people and circumstances, it might put more pressure on him than is necessary.
By virtue of a pretty good season, the Raptors are not picking until two-thirds of the way through this draft. If there is a Tyler Ennis there, a guy from Brampton, Ontario, guy who has plays a position the Raptors may have a need in at point guard, should the fact that he is a local product at all factor into the decision they make on this player?
Never, 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 never. Write it down. Say it again. You should never draft a guy because he's from your town. That is not how this works. It almost never works out if that's the reason. You draft performance. And Michael knows this, being in Montreal. There have been too many times where the Montreal Canadiens have gone with a guy who was local rather than the best available player. It's not a good idea.
And they don't have to sell tickets. If they had to sell tickets and they needed to promote somebody, maybe you would consider him if all things were equal. If it was this player or another player, Ennis or another guard, you might lean to the local guy. But the Raptors are not in the position now where they have to use him to promote. So if you like Ennis, who towards the end of Syracuse's year, remember they started 25-0 and things went sideways, he was both the solution and at times the problem because he kind of drifted on Jim Boeheim, who's been mentioned twice now.
He's a freshman. He's a freshman. And we got to always understand, these are kids and he's a freshman. Brian Colangelo, who used to run the Raptors, did not ever want to draft a local guy. Mm-hmm. He believed he didn't want a posse. He didn't want a whole, you know, play him, not play him kind of argument going on all the time. But I spoke to Masai Ujiri about this. He doesn't care where anybody's born. He wants the best player he can get. And well, Dwayne Casey said, if Ennis is on the board at 20, we're taking him.
Well, and that's fine, because if you think he's worth taking at that spot, pretend he's not from anywhere near here. That's okay. If the number one or even number two consideration is because he's a local guy, watch out.
Well, as I say, years ago, we would have thought the Toronto Raptors might be picking high in this draft. They are not. But it will certainly be an exciting NBA draft for fans of Canadian basketball as they look forward to a bright future in the NBA. That's it for this edition of TSN The Reporters on podcast.